Okay, so now tonight we're going to talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. So the three primary scriptures that we're going to use that support and show us how to be led by the Spirit of God is Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, and Proverbs 20:27. We're going to be talking about those scriptures. I'd like you to find those scriptures in your Bible. So you may want to rip a piece of paper and stick it in each slot, and then we'll turn to each one of those, and we're going to read those together. And while you're doing that, I want to tell you a story. When Pastor Brad and I were first married, we lived in a cute little house in Burlingame. Brad kind of always thought it would be really neat to develop a piece of property and build a house and be a real estate developer. He just thought that would be fun. Somebody around the corner from us had a house that was for sale. At that time, we had not been to Bible school. We didn't know everything that we know now. Not that we know everything, because we don't. We're still learning. But we know more now than we did then. Nobody had taught us how to be led by the Spirit of God. So we were doing the best that we could. And the best that we could was I knew that somewhere in the Bible, Brad and I knew that somebody had put out a fleece before God. So that sounded pretty good to us. So we thought, well, okay, let's put out a fleece and we'll see if we're supposed to buy this house. Because what happened was the house was for sale and Brad went and talked to the people because he wanted to basically tear it down and then build a bigger house there and sell it. He was all into it. And so he went and he approached them and they said, oh, it just sold. So we thought, oh, okay, well, I guess we missed that. And then a couple days went by, maybe about a week, and the guy came to our doorstep and said, hey, are you still interested in buying my house? Because it fell through, and so it's available now. And so at first thinking, which this is why you cannot go by circumstances and being led, because, oh, here it comes, the guy comes to our door and asks us if we want to buy it. I'll try to work out a good deal for you, and it's available. If you want it, you know, we'll just work straight with you, make it easy. So we did what we knew to do at the time, which was put out a fleece. So we put out this little fleece. If this happens, then it's God's will for us to get that house. And if this doesn't happen, then it's not God's will. Maybe you've heard this said, you put out a fleece and you got fleeced. Our little fleece was not very effective, but we did not know how to pray and be led by our Spirit. We went ahead and bought the house, developed the house, spent a lot of time and a lot of money right at a point where the real estate market was going like this. So by the time we finished that project, there was a real big earthquake here in California, and it made a turning point for the real estate market, and values started going like this. So they're going like this. And they went like this, and we're needing them to go like this. They had been going like this for many years, and suddenly a turn like this. So we ended up losing a lot of money, which is really unfortunate. We don't like to do that. Do you like to do that?
No.
So we want to learn how to be led by God, because He leads you into blessings, into fulfillment of His promises. We want to be led by God to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. So losing money is not a blessing, but we didn't know at the time. Not until we went away to Bible school and started studying, had some really good teachers that were teaching us scripture, did we learn how to be led. I want to teach you tonight something that is going to help make a difference for the rest of your life, how to be led by the Spirit of God, so that you'll know God's will and God's leading, so that you can make good decisions and good choices in your life following Him. So that you don't make mistakes, but you can just make things that are based on His will for you, and you'll know His will. So tonight I'm going to show you how to know God's will, how to know how to be led. Are you there in Romans 8, verse 14? Now, it all worked out fine, because God's good. We ended up selling our house in the same year, and it all worked out. And we still had enough money to go to Bible school, so God's good. But it could have been better had we not gotten fleeced. Now, the fleece is the way that somebody was led in the Old Testament, but we're not led that way anymore. We are not led by fleeces. Why? Because we're under a better covenant, a new covenant. And back then, not everybody had the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. We are blessed by God because We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. We don't have to look to outside circumstances. If this happens, then it must be God. If the phone rings, then I'm supposed to go out on a date with Fred. Well, not necessarily, you know. Okay, we don't go by those kinds of circumstances. Why? Because the devil is in this world and can affect circumstances. We go by the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside. We go by our spirit. He leads us through our spirit. So fleeces are not the way that we're led under the New Testament. We've got the Holy Spirit and a much better way of being led, an accurate way, not based on circumstances and not even based on natural reasoning, which is another thing. So we don't base being led on our physical senses or on natural reasoning, but out of our spirit. Okay, so are you there at Romans 8:14? Okay, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Which means, if you're a son of God, you should be led by the Spirit of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. We know that means son or daughter, right? Then Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we see something else here, that the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a him, not an it, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So there's something important there to learn. What does it mean that he bears witness with our spirit? We need to have understanding of that. And Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of men is the candle of the Lord. Now, if we were going to talk about it in this day and age, we don't use candles for light, you know, unless there's a blackout or something. So what we really use now are light bulbs. So we would say it this way, the spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. In other words, the spirit of man illuminates or guides us. It's our light. It's the bright light. It's the leading and the way to the right path. Now, God guides us through our spirits. And just like I said, not the physical senses, not the mental where you reason it out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. Because God is a spirit, and it's his spirit to our spirit. That's how we communicate. Our spirit to his spirit to our spirit. We're spirit beings, God is a spirit being. Now, how do we know that? If you turn to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let's read what that says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. And then it goes on. But what I want you to see here is God said, let us make man in our image. So we're made in the image of God. So we need to know then, what is the image of God? How is God made? And Jesus said in John 4:24, he said that God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit, in John 4:24, and we are made in the image of God, then that means that we are a spirit being also, because we're made in the image of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 also helps give us some understanding about, if we want to put it this way, the division of man, that man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Why don't you turn there? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So I told you we were going to turn to a lot of scriptures tonight. These are good scriptures that really should be underlined in your Bible. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, Proverbs 20:27, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23. These are important for you to see. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That shows that man is a three-part being. Man is spirit, soul, and body. And notice, what does it put first? The body? Man is a body? No. Man is a soul? No. Man is a spirit. Now, in the world, they may see and put more emphasis on the body or on the intellect or the emotions, the soul. But that's not what God does. God puts the emphasis on the spirit. And we're gonna find out why in a few minutes. Man is an eternal spirit. The body dies, but the spirit does not die. In Philippians 1, 23 and 24, we can see some things there. And if we look at that, what we can get out of that is that Paul talks about to live, to go to be with Christ is much better. It's better. It's far better. But he's going to stay here to help continue teaching. but he talks about whether he's in the body or out, he's going to be a blessing. He talks about I, the real me, the inward part. And the inward part is talking about the spirit man. So Paul was talking about the spirit man. Why don't you turn there? Philippians 1:23. Okay, so what he was saying is it's more needful for him to remain here and to continue teaching and ministering the way he was ministering. But for him personally, it was far better for him to go and be with the Lord. Far better. When we die, when the body dies, there's nothing to fear. It's far better to go be with Christ. There's nothing to fear. It's far better. Far better. Far better. Nothing to fear. Yet our spirit man does not die. Now, some people, when you talk to them, may say that they believe in reincarnation. But reincarnation is not scriptural. There's no scriptural support for that whatsoever. Actually, it's against scripture. That's not what the Bible says. People do not become different people and come back on this earth. That's not what scripture says. Some people think, well, when they die, they just go into some state of blissful sleep. Well, that's not true either. It's heaven or it's hell, but their spirit, man, will remain alive. The spirit doesn't die. The body dies, but the spirit is an eternal being that will live eternally in either heaven or hell. So it's very important to know that we are a spirit and there are spirit decisions to be made while we're on this earth, and they affect eternal destinations. So no matter how blind somebody is to this, we can still speak to them and tell them the truth. And we can still pray for them, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know the truth, that they may be able to receive Jesus and say yes. Receive him as Lord and Savior by confessing him as their Lord and Savior, believing that God sent him so that they may have a relationship with God and go to heaven when it is their time. So that's a better way. Paul's saying, I, the real me. So the inward part is the real you. The real you is not your body. The real you is not your soul or your mind. The real you, the me, the I, is the spirit man, the inward part. It's very important to understand this, especially for people that didn't grow up in the church or weren't taught this way. Because in the world system, a lot of times, there is much more emphasis put on the physical body. You know, I mean, we can see the 24-hour Nautilus and all of these gyms. And taking care of yourself is very good. It is a good thing to do, to take care of your physical body. God wants us to take care of the temple. But it's the temple in which we live in. The real us lives in the temple, the body. It's more important and even better for you to take care of the spirit man first. There's a lot of emphasis in our society to spend a lot of time and a lot of money educating the intellect. I spoke with a friend today who has a son my age. She said that her son has finished 18 years of advanced education in medical training. He's a plastic surgeon. Now, he's saved, and he's using it to the glory of God, and he's doing mission trips to Africa and all. But 18 years of advanced education in medical training, that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, he's using it to the glory of God, but there are a lot of people that are going after master's degrees and all of these advanced degrees, and that's great. But what they're doing is they're educating the mind, the intellect. What we want to look at here, what you all are doing by going to Bible school, you're educating your spirit. You're developing your spirit is probably a better way to say it. You're developing your spirit, man. And how much more important is that? Because that's how you're led. That's how you communicate with God. It's through your spirit. The way you're led is through your spirit. So what you're doing is very good. Now what you're doing is you're educating, training, and growing your spirit man, the man on the inside, the real you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's turn there. Who wants to read that one for us? Okay, so here again, we just see more scriptural support for what we're saying here. We see the outer man and the inward man. That the inward man is the real you, the inward man is your spirit being. Outward man, inward man. The outward man may be perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, meaning your inside's getting better and better. That's why on the inside, people never feel like they get old. The outside may be an issue, but the inside, I remember my mom saying to me one time, and I think she was about maybe 50, she said, I still feel like an 18-year-old. You know, and she's still rollerblades and all that, and she's in her 60s now. But the inside doesn't decay. The inside is not perishing when you're born again. The inside is being renewed day by day. Now, the outward man is simply the house that you live in, and it never grows older. I'm sorry, the inward man never grows older. The outward man grows older, but the inward man never grows older. Isn't that nice to know? Now, we develop our spirit, but it doesn't grow older. So now let's look back at some of our main scriptures. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself, or better to phrase it this way, himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God will guide us through our spirit. Therefore, it's essential that we understand about our spirit and learn how to develop it. Now, John 3:3-6 says that, it talks about Nicodemus, where he came and he said, how can a man be born again? And in there we see that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So what they're talking about there is a spiritual birth. Man's spirit receives eternal life, the life of God and the nature of God. Man's spirit receives the nature of God and the life of God. So you want to be led through that nature of God, through that life of God. That's where God dwells, in your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. Can you understand why it's so important to be led through your spirit, not natural reasoning? There can be lots of things going on in the outside realm, lots of different circumstances, lots of different situations. Somebody came to our door. Hey, guess what? The house became available. Do you still want it? It came to us. It must be God. No, it was not God. Just because things come to you or doors open, it does not mean it's God. Just because things come to you, it doesn't mean it's God. You need to have discernment. You need to pray in your spirit and ask God, is this from you? Is this a blessing from you? Or is this a distraction? Or is this error? And the way you know it is through your spirit, man. You know, I've heard of people that have made really a lot of money and made very good business decisions. And the way that they do it is by praying and sometimes even setting aside like 3 days. And just seeking God for 3 days when they're going to make a major decision about a business investment, career change, something like that. Setting aside time where they seek God. Diligently seek God until they know that they know that they know. And then they make a decision. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily make sense to your natural thinking. But if it bears witness with your spirit, then you know that's the way to go. And then it's amazing how things will unfold. Sometimes there's things that we don't know, but God knows. So God can protect us from things, prevent us from going a certain direction, even though it may look good in the natural. But we want to go the God way, the Spirit-led way. God knows things, and God wants to help us and lead us. So much so that He's so wonderful and so good that He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I am so glad that we live in the age of grace, in the age where the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all of us so that all of us can be led. It's not just for kings and for prophets. It's not just for the priests. The Holy Spirit is here for every one of us so that we can seek God and know how to be led through our innermost being. What a wonderful blessing and joy that is to be able to communicate directly with God. I mean, really, what a treasure. Sometimes two things I just thank God for often, that I'm saved. I'm so thankful I'm saved. And I don't credit it to myself, but by the grace of God, He opened my eyes to see. I think He had people praying for me so that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened so that I would get saved and know, not of myself, but by the goodness of God, that I'm saved. I thank God I'm saved. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, that I get to talk to God. Yes. I get to fellowship with God, commune with God. What a blessing, a treasure, a joy. I mean, in the Old Testament, not everybody walked with God got to have the Holy Spirit like this. Yes. Oh, what a blessing we have. What a blessing to be able to pray and go to God. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that He helps me in decisions. So thankful. 1 Peter 3:4, in that area, we see that Paul calls man's spirit the inward man. Peter calls man's spirit the hidden man of the heart. So there we see it again, the hidden man of the heart. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. And then it goes on and talks more about the hidden man of the heart. Often when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's speaking of the spirit. So it's not obviously talking about the physical organ, the heart, but it's referring to the inward part of man, the spirit man. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where God said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, and that God was listing there, through the writer, that the spirit is first. Understanding that will help you to grow spiritually. Putting your spirit man first. Valuing your spirit man over educating the intellect. If you educate your spirit first, the rest of your life will be easier. There's a minister that talked about, you know, he wasn't getting very good grades. Actually, we've got an account of somebody here in the youth group. But anyway, there was a minister that wasn't getting very good grades, and then he got born again, and his grades went to straight A's. Because he realized, this is interesting, that you actually don't memorize things into the organ of the brain, but you memorize things into your spirit. And as soon as he realized that you actually memorize things into your spirit, then he realized he had the life of God in his spirit, and he could memorize things, and he suddenly switched to straight A's. See, because the organ, the brain organ, you know, will die with the body. You don't take that to heaven. But your spirit, man, with your memories, will go to heaven. Made all the difference. Made a huge difference. And we've got an account of somebody here doing that. Understanding that it's their spirit that takes in information, their spirit that memorizes and switch their grades around. If you will, start focusing on the fact that you are a spirit being, especially if you spend a lot of time educating your intellect. If you will, start speaking this out loud to yourself when you're driving, when you're walking around the house, I am a spirit being, I have a soul, I live in a body, it will help you develop spiritually. Because faith is of the heart. We can say it this way. Faith is of the spirit. Faith is of the spirit. So why don't we all say that together right now? I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. The real me is a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And see, that'll even help you when it comes time to, well, what am I going to do first when I wake up in the morning? Am I going to stick with my half-hour exercise routine and leave my Bible reading to last? Or am I going to do my Bible reading first and then do my exercise routine? I'm not saying that we always have to do it exactly in that kind of an order, but sometimes there's a shifting that needs to take place when somebody gets born again, and they need to start valuing the spirit man first. It's the spirit man first. The spirit man first. So if you will continue saying that, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, it will help you develop your spirit man. And it will help you develop a spirit consciousness where you are aware. You will be more spirit conscious. Spirit conscious. It will help you. It will help you to develop your faith. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of the spirit. So as you go around saying, I am a spirit, I am a spirit, I am a spirit being, that part of you will rise up. That part of you will be developed stronger as you just don't allow your spirit man to remain dormant and overpowered by the flesh, but let your spirit man dominate you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. The flesh and the spirit are oftentimes in opposition. Often in opposition. And the more you develop your spirit, be conscious of your spirit, the stronger your spirit man will be to overpower that flesh, those flesh desires. I am a spirit. I have authority over my body. Paul talked about, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Therefore, after I've preached the gospel, I may not be ashamed. Because why? Because he's keeping his body in line and he's buffeting his body and making his body do what he wants it to do, not letting his body rule and reign, not letting his body determine what he does, or the flesh determine what he does, but letting the spirit man decide whether or not you're going to have that second cup of chocolate ice cream. Ben and Jerry's, New York. Who's going to decide? The spirit man? Or the flesh man. Who's going to decide? So the more you develop that spirit, there will come this knowing. I'm going to call it a check. You know, you really are having too much chocolate. And there's this knowing. Now God, he's so wonderful. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He does not lord his lordship over you. He allows it to be by freedom of choice. He never takes away your freedom of choice. Not when it comes to salvation, even though he knows the consequences of choosing or not choosing. Not when it comes to being led. He doesn't take away your freedom of choice. He is a perfect gentleman. Yet he will very subtly let you know what's right and what's wrong. If you'll make yourself sensitive to his leading, keep yourself sensitive to your leading. If you want to override his leading, he allows you to do that. He doesn't make you or force you to do anything. He gives you freedom of choice. He's a perfect gentleman. Perfect gentleman. And very, very patient. He's oh so gracious and so merciful and so patient with us. Oh so patient. He's so patient with us. I thank God for his patience. Continuing to draw us back to him. Continuing to draw us back. Continuing to communicate to us the right thing, the right choice, the right path. He's so gracious. So gracious. Oh, he really is so gracious, so good. As you keep yourself sensitive to the fact that you are a spirit being, God will lead you in business. God will lead you in the daily details of your life. I was just recently in Florida and I had a project to work on. I needed to furnish a house in 4.5 days. That's a pretty big project. And so I was driving around trying to do that, get everything done. And I was on my last day, and I had to just finish everything, and I had a lot to do. And I'm driving, and I needed a little centerpiece for a coffee table. And I'm thinking, I know what store I could go to, but it's all the way on the other side of town, and do I really have time to go over there? And I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the prices there. This is just a little detail, but how good God is. And as I'm driving, it just the name of this other store comes to me, and I think, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, except I tried that a day or two ago, and they were sold out, except for they had one that I wanted this really nice, like, centerpiece to go on the coffee table, and they had one. It was orchids, but they were kind of purple, and I didn't want purple. You know, they had one left. That was it. And so I'm thinking, oh, my natural reasoning starts to kick in, and I start thinking, I tried that store. I don't want purple. They were all sold out. What are the odds they would get a new shipment in within the last day or two? I'm thinking, plus, you know, I'm in a different town that I'm kind of familiar with, but not all that familiar with. And I'm thinking, where is that store anyway? And as I drive like half a block further, there it is right up in front of me. And I think, well, there it is. And my natural thinking is still thinking, what are the odds they'd get a new shipment in such a short amount of time? Do I really have the time to stop there, go in and look with how much I have left to do? So my natural thinking is thinking, eh. But in here, in my spirit man, it's bearing witness with me. This store is bearing witness with me. So I think, okay, and there it is right in front of me. I mean, it was like, at that point, I'm like, God, this must have been your idea because here it is right in front of me. So I pull in, hop out of the car, go straight to where they were, and now everything's gone. It's totally wiped out. So I start to have the temptation to think, I guess I wasn't led. Right? I start thinking like this way. I guess I miss it. Well, I'm human. People can miss it. I guess I missed it. I'm thinking, oh, I just time. You know, I've got a time deadline. As I'm thinking of leaving the store, this person walks by that works in the store, and I say, hey, just by chance, is there anywhere else in the store you might keep these centerpieces with these orchids? She said, oh, yeah. And then she goes, let me show you. She takes me right to them, exactly what I wanted, white, one left, and then one other little centerpiece thing, and I stood there and I praised God. Now, nobody else knew what I was doing, but it was half the price if I'd driven to the other side of town and gotten the other thing and paid and spent all the time to drive to the other side of town. My natural thinking wouldn't have taken me back into that store. I would have cast it aside. What are the odds? Within the last day or two, they'd have another shipment. What are the odds? They had one left. That was God leading me in a simple little tiny thing that maybe even people listening to this think this is silly and ridiculous, especially you men. You're talking about silk flowers to put on a coffee table, okay? But you know what? He'll lead you the same way in what tools to take to work. He'll lead you in the same way. Today, coming up here, I hopped on 10280. It's always clear, usually except for when it's raining, because sometimes then there have been accidents on 92. And it's always clear. And I got on, and I had only passed a couple exits, and it was stopped. And I thought, and usually I leave so that I've got like at least a half an hour up here before class starts. And I'm thinking, this is not a good sign. And, you know, just before then, before any of the traffic, I'd had this thought come to me. You know, if this was ever backed up, I'd have to get off, go Woodside Road, wind myself away around, back up, and figure out how to get to 280 and go up 280. Why did I have that thought? I don't even know why I had that thought, except for then go a couple more exits, and it stopped. It's completely stopped. Now, that's way down by my house. That's a half an hour away was the traffic totally stopped. So I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I stay on? Do I get off? Do I stay on? Do I get off? What exit is this? And, you know, time is an issue because, you know, you're passing exits. And so I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? Looking to my spirit. Looking to my spirit. What do I do? What do I do? And just, I'm just, what do I do? What do I do? I'm like, get off. I get off. I'm like, okay. I call up here and I say, guys, I'm going to make it, but it's going to be really close. I'm going to have to backtrack, get on to 280. And Mark knew a shortcut. He said, where are you? I'm on Edgewood Road. And I'm going to go right, go through Redwood City, get on 280. And he goes, go left. There's a road that'll take you up and hook you up to 92. Okay, praise God. Thank you. Go left. And I made it here on time. But just that sensitivity of being led by the Holy Spirit, staying sensitive to Him. He'll lead you in the tiny little details of life. Now, is that important? Yes. Got me here on time. Yeah. Is that important? Yes. God will save you time. He will save you money. He will prevent heartache from coming to you. He will show you the right person to marry. I'm not saying that there's necessarily only one person for you to marry, but He will show you who is good for you to marry. Because if you marry the wrong person, I've watched this happen. Do you want me to tell you what I've watched happen? I have watched people that had a call of God on their life marry somebody that didn't even want to go to church, and they're not in church today. I've watched people that think, well, I'm so strong in my relationship with God, nothing can take me off course. I'll get them to go to church. They'll come with me. Now, it probably has happened. I've never witnessed that happen. I've only witnessed it go the other way. I don't know why that is, but it seems that the weaker link seems to pull real strong, okay? And I'm sure there are cases where it's been different and it's been other than that. Learning to be led by the Spirit will help you for the rest of your life. Developing your spirit man, as you are all doing. That's what you are all here doing. You are learning to develop your spirit man, strengthening your spirit man so that you can be led in the little details of life. What exit to take, whether or not to get off the freeway, how to avoid that accident that's up ahead so you don't sit in traffic for the next 3 hours. God will lead you and guide you. God will lead you. When you meet somebody, is that your future spouse? You'll know. There will be a knowing on the inside of you. And you just want to be careful not to let the emotions get a hold of you and override your spirit leading. We've offered counseling to people before that said they were going to get married. Would you like some counseling? No, no, no. We don't want counseling. We're just going to get married. Are you sure? We'd really like to meet with you and talk with you and help you, you know, sometimes just to make sure, you know, are you sure? Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. Uh-uh. Okay. And then it ends in divorce. Why? Because they wanted to rush into it. I mean, maybe for a lot of reasons, maybe that we don't even know, don't even understand. But, you know, if it's God today and that's the right person for you, there is no reason to rush into marriage. Marriage is supposed to be for the rest of your life. The rest of your life is a very long time. I've been married 18 years. It's a long time. You're married a long time. For the rest of your life is a long time. Why rush? If it's God, it's going to be right. You do not need to rush. This is something to get into people's hearts now before they meet that person so that it's wedged into that heart, that this memory of what I'm saying right now. If you will get this now and you will remember not to let your physical senses overpower your spirit man, or your emotional feelings to overpower your spirit man, you will make a good godly decision. Once those hormones start getting going, and all that excitement and that adrenaline starts rushing about how great and wonderful this person is, who you really don't know all that well yet because you've never lived with them. You only know them at their best, because when you go out on a date, you usually put forth your best, right? And if somebody's not, that would really make you wonder. But if you're only seeing the best, you know there's more to it, and it would be really wise to take time to get to know the more that's to it. Yeah. And make sure you can live with the more that's to it than just the best you see on the date. There's more that's to it. What's their temper like? Do they want to have kids or not? Do you love cats and they're allergic to cats? Hey, that might be an issue for somebody. How do you handle money? How do they handle money? Sex. These are all issues. And if people will take time to work out some of these things in advance, then they'll be able to know whether or not they're compatible. And there's wisdom in that. There's wisdom in taking your time. There's wisdom in seeking counsel. There's wisdom in waiting, and there's wisdom in praying and being led by your spirit. You want to be led by your spirit, whether it's marriage, whether it's a business decision, finances, details of life, what tools to take to work, whether or not to say yes to the promotion or to look for a new job, where you want to live, who your roommate's going to be. That's another thing. It's just God can show you. Who would even be a good roommate for you? They may be fun to go out with to a movie, but are they going to be easy to live with? Just in a roommate situation. God leads and guides in everything as you seek him. He is so good and so wonderful. He so wants to lead you and guide you that he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Talk about making it easy. He made it so easy. You don't have to go seek some prophet. You don't have to go seek somebody else. Right on the inside of you, you have a born-again spirit with the Holy Spirit so that you can be led and guided by God, so that you can walk out and fulfill the call for your life and the purpose for your life. Find the mate that's going to bring the most satisfaction to you and that you can be the biggest blessing to, so that you will have a life full of joy. God wants you to have a life of joy, happy and content, a job that you're happy with. He's good. He leads you and he guides you. He is there to lead you and guide you. So continue to develop your spirit as you are, and he will continue to lead you and guide you. Amen.